When you think of terms like fasting and solitude, I think of guys in itchy robes with big crosses hanging on the side of their robes, sort of walking along silently. And I'm thinking, how are you guys even tempted to do anything? You know, come live in my neighborhood. Watch television for just a little bit. Hang out at my construction site or the group of guys that I work with. When you think of fasting and solitude, you think of something that's for very holy people. But the example I want to show you today, and it's the greatest example of biblical solitude and fasting, was by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was the first and only theanthropic in person and nature. It's a cool theological word. You can use it later, like with your wife and kids. You're at the table and you go, you know, I was thinking the other day of the theanthropic nature of Jesus. And your wife's like, wow. You know, I read. I'm a reader. I'm an intellect, you know. Theos, God, anthropos, man. He was fully God and fully man. That's the doctrine that we teach. He came to the earth fully as a man and fully God. He was lessened neither way. So, when the time for his ministry came, it's interesting what happened here. In verse 4, of chapter 4 of Matthew, I'd like you to look at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now that's interesting to me, because when I think of Jesus and I understand his theological nature of who he was, I'm thinking the devil, somewhat of a punk. Now, I didn't say that, and please don't tell, you know, I don't want him messing with me, so don't tell him. If you know him personally, don't tell him I said that, but if, because I don't want to start any trouble where, you know, I want to be at peace with all people as much as I can. Well, anyway, I'm thinking, in comparison to Jesus, how is the devil going to tempt him? Okay? In what way could he possibly tempt the one who actually created him? Jesus is a part of the Godhead. Satan is a created being. He was a covering angel. He was one of the most beautiful of all of God's creation. And he believed in himself so much, he was such a positive thinker, that he thought that he should have been on the throne of God. The power of positive thinking. You know, well, I should be God. Okay, you and, you know, Shirley MacLaine and wherever else you want to live. Maybe he was from Sedona. But anyway, he thought that he should be in the place of God, and he got kicked out of heaven. Now, he comes to him to tempt him. And this is something that's very important, and it's only by speculation can I give you any real insight into this. I believe that Jesus did this, number one, because as he ministered here on the earth, he ministered as a man. He divested himself of his prerogative of deity. He could have destroyed the place with one sneeze, at one moment, at one time, and had no one to answer to. But yet he was doing something. He became one of his creation. He became one of us. You know, there's something very special when someone says, I will become one of you. I want to be on your team. I want to spend time with you. I want to relate to you. You know, it's been said, you know, you really don't know a man until you've walked, you know, 100 miles or 1,000 miles in his shoes. Well, that's what Jesus did. He came and walked in the shoes of his creation. And he was going to be tempted as a man. And Satan, the devil, knew that he was, if he was ever going to be in a weakened state, there he would be. Now, someone could say, how can God be tempted? Well, in human form, in human flesh, by Satan, if it is possible at all, he was tempted here. Why? Because God remains a free moral agent. God can do whatever he wants to do. And the great thing about God is that we're told in Scripture that he never changes. Never. He never once changes from his character. His character is so strong and so pure that we can depend on it for the rest of our lives. He's not like the Roman gods and goddesses. You know, you make, if you were Roman, poor people, you make one of their gods mad, you're in trouble. You know, Zeus is going to, you know, throw a lightning bolt down and hit you with a rock, or maybe make a sea hag come out and marry you, or whatever else, you know, kind of weird, or be eaten by some strange snake. But you're not going to change the character of our God, even what would seem to be a weakened state in the human flesh. But what he does for us, I believe, is he provides for us, those of us who live in this flesh, those who walk around in this body, he provides for us an example of what you can do, even when confronted by Satan himself. Okay. He says that he went out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now the wilderness that he went into was not like the nice woods that you see around here, and maybe there's some squirrels and some nice little streams. The wilderness, the Judean wilderness, is dry, arid, hot, searing, dehydrating place to be. Very rough environment to be in. And he was there for 40 days. If you're going to get ready for a fight, how many, any UFC guys here? Because sometimes we have UFC guys here. I could probably get somebody. How many of you feel like you're a UFC guy? Come on, there's a few of you. There we go. Steve Stucker for sure. I know him. Now, boxers or wrestlers or so forth, when you're training for an event, the last thing you do is deprive yourself of water. You deprive yourself of food. In fact, you usually have a specific regimen, a diet that you are filling up on, whether it's carbs or protein, and you're lifting, and you're drinking a lot of water, and you're doing everything you can because you want to be the strongest you can be in a fight. Jesus is showing us right here that the real fight and the real fuel is not food. It's not fellowship. The real fuel and the real food for the believer is complete dependence upon God himself. What does the scripture say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now let's make a couple of things clear. Number one. Is food good for you? Yes. Right. Some food, right? Not all food. But we all exist daily because of food. Is water good for you? Yes. Okay. God designed us to live by food and water, but not by food and water alone. And food for us as men can become one of the greatest friends that you've ever had in your life. I don't know about you, but food to me has really been a really good friend to me through all of these years. And I never thank him enough for all of the times that he was there for me, you know? When that special bag of chips late at night when nobody seems to understand you. And your wife's not encouraging you and the boss is mad at you. I mean, just that good bag of Doritos with some Sadie salsa. I mean, That's fellowship. But it does nothing to spiritually strengthen you. It does nothing to spiritually strengthen you. Look at what happens. And when the tempter came to him and said, now notice this was after 40 days of fasting. At this point, we know medically that a person is almost to the point of death at this, from fasting this long. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Notice he comes to him and he tempts him at his weakest point. It said when Jesus had fasted for 40 days, he became hungry. And as a person fasts that long, when they become hungry, they are near the point of starvation. They need food desperately. And what does he do? He comes and says, listen, you got these stones around here in Israel. Believe me, there's lots of stones. You could command any one of these stones and have bread right now. Notice what Jesus says. But he answered and said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lesson number one. True spiritual nourishment comes from God alone. Reason number one for fasting is spiritual nourishment from God alone. Okay? Write that down in your mind if you don't have. Probably most of you have, you know, picture memories, so I'm sure that you don't need to write any of this down. You got it all perfect. But reason number one for fasting, spiritual food comes from God alone, period. One of the reasons that we deny ourselves for a particular period of time, I'm not necessarily saying that some of you start out for 40 days, that could be rough, but for whatever time that you set aside, the reason that we do this is to be filled with spiritual food from God Himself. Because we're so used to intaking food, our taste, our flavor, we're designed to eat it 3, 4, depending upon what kind of diet you're on, 6 times a day. We eat it. And our mind is conscious of it. And we're constantly satisfying ourselves with food. The reason for fasting, number one, is to stop that process and began to feed upon God and His resources Himself. Every time that the hunger pain comes and you say, I need a burger right now. Honey, pull into Five Guys. No, you're in a fast, honey. Pull into Five Guys. I can feel it right now. No. As soon as the hunger pain comes, that's a reminder that I am to feed upon God Himself. I turn to the Lord, I turn to His Word, and I ask Him for food for my life. Okay? You get the picture? We're building spiritual muscles, we're building spiritual strength when we fast. That's the purpose here. Notice the next thing that happens. In verse 5, then the devil took him up to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Okay, Satan comes and tempts us at our basic needs. Number one, for food, to be consumed with food, to be consumed with the mundane of life, just simple eating and having no real thought, no real spiritual growth. But he also comes to us and tempts us with grandeur. He tempts us to do things that are against God. And we would think that in order to really resist him, we would want to be full of food, we want to have plenty of fellowship. But the truth of the matter is this. Unless a man gets alone with God, unless a man lives in solitude from time to time away from everyone else, all he hears are the various voices of the world. Think about what you do when you first get up in the morning. What's the first thing that your hand does in the morning? If you're like me and you like to watch the news and figure out what's going on, first thing I do is stretch, grab the remote, click, see what kind of jokes Steve Stucker's got going on this morning here in Albuquerque or Fox News or CNN or whatever else, and see what's happening going on in the world. We start our day out by listening to the world. We get in the car, you turn on the radio, you get to work, you start to talk to your friends all day. Because we're social. And we want to know what's going on. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. What he's saying here by getting alone for 40 days and not eating for 40 days is he says that there is a proper place for mankind, a proper place for men to pull aside so that they can hear what God has to say alone. Because if we don't learn to hear his voice correctly, from by listening to his word, from by paying attention to his spirit, because something happens to you, my friends, when you get alone with God. Something happens when there's no more stimulation, when things are quiet, when maybe you just have your Bible with you. You begin to settle down. All of the information that we take in on a constant basis is some of the reason that many guys struggle with alcoholism or drugs or other types of addiction. Because it's too much. It's too much. It's too much. We were meant to be quiet from time to time and to be alone with God. And to hear his voice and learn to listen and to enjoy his presence. The problem is, if your mind is filled with everything in the world and you're barely hearing things from God from time to time, Satan has the ability to tempt you to do stupid things. Anyone in here? Any part of this group today, let me say, my name is David Rao, and I've done stupid things. Can anyone say amen to that? Any other people here say amen? Have you done stupid things? Okay, going up to the pinnacle of the temple and throwing yourself off is a very stupid thing. Why would Jesus do something like that? Why would he even think about doing something like that? Because Satan was tempting him, basically calling him a chicken and saying, if you really are God, then why don't you do it? If you really are God, nothing's going to happen to you, so why don't you do it? Now, here's where it gets real for us. If you really are a man, and you're really strong, and you really know what you're doing, this is nothing for you. You can handle this temptation. Just do it. There's no problem here. You're a man of God. God's not going to let anything happen to you. Just do it. Now, the truth of the matter is, Jesus wouldn't do it because he has too much integrity. But if he had done it, he wouldn't have hurt himself. The angels would have held him up. But Satan, at a weakened point, will try to get a man to do something that is contrary to everything that he knows. Okay? Here's the irony. Jesus was tired. Jesus was weak physically. Jesus was hungry. But Jesus was very smart and was very strong spiritually. Time alone with God, lack of food, didn't make him weaker spiritually. Put that one down. Write that one down. Time alone with God, a lack of food, did not make him weaker spiritually. Okay? We're going to show you one more example, and then I'll let you break up into groups. Verse 8. And the devil took him to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Big question. Does Satan have a lot of power in this world? Absolutely. God created the earth. God created man with will. Some will debate how much free will he had, how limited it is. Whatever way you want to debate about it, mankind chose, for the most part, for the most part. Glad this is on tape. I'll experience my first viral video in a men's group. For the most part, the world fell sway to his influence because he plays upon our weaknesses because he hates us. Why do people create strip clubs? Is it because they love women and want to give them a chance to show off their beautiful bodies? And they want men to have a chance to come in and to enjoy their beautiful bodies? And it's just a wonderful thing and they're just blessing humanity? Is that why people create strip clubs? No, they don't. They understand that there's weaknesses with humanity. And they can sell a lot of booze and extract a lot of money out of people who show up, who come in. That's just how it works. No one walks out going, woohoo, had the best day of my life. I feel good. Plays upon our weakness. You know, that's Satan's deal. He doesn't love us. He plays upon our weaknesses. He doesn't play fair. And that may be a weakness for some of you. For some of you, that may have never been a weakness. It may be gambling. Look at gambling. People create casinos because, man, we just hope that there's some really lucky people today. And the owner of the casino is going, man, if I could only give away $20 million, today might be the day, staff. Nobody does that. They're like, come on in. You know, I love the big sign out front that says, one out of 10 is a big winner. Okay, translate what that means. That means 9 out of 10 are big losers. Give me your money. Satan, by influence, by promising, by lying, by hating humanity, gain power and influence over the world. Goes to Jesus. Jesus came, well, for what reason? To redeem the world. Because he loved it. He knew it was jacked up. He knew it was under Satan's control. I knew it was under his power and under his influence. And he came to die on a cross the worst thing, to take all of the sin of humanity onto himself, to suffer and to die. Satan knew where he was going. And he comes to him, what would it seem, at his weakest moment, and he says, just bow down to me and I'll give it all to you. As if to say, you don't need to go to the cross. Jesus, what would seem at his weakest moment, was at his most powerful. A lack of food and a lack of and solitude with God allowed him to say the words and use the words of God from God's book that say this. Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." And the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Listen. God made you for victory. And it's not the way that the world calls it. And denying yourself a little bit of food and denying yourself some of the stimulation of this world and getting alone with God will have so much power and strength in your life. And you need it. You need it. I need it. Because Satan does come and he does tempt and we do fall. And we get hurt. And every time, now you notice something? Every time that you blow it, it doesn't boost your confidence. You notice that? Every time that you blow it, you have less confidence in yourself and less confidence in God. I don't know if you notice that. We're going to break up into our smaller groups. And I know that some of you, you can't stay for that. But if you can, we've seen some really cool things going on within the groups, because guys getting to pray with each other, encouraging one another, making good friends, and talking about some of these issues. A few things I want you to know. You can go on our website, challengemen.org. You can download PDF files on how to fast. We have some good ways to do that. I suggest you first do a water fast. Take 24 hours and just drink water. Look at your calendar. Find some time where you can go and be alone with God. Take a Bible with you, or maybe a good spiritual book, and just read and just enjoy God's presence and let all of the cares leave behind you. Let all of the day that you've been going through just sort of fade away and experience his presence and be refreshed and be renewed in your inner man. Because temptations are going to come. They're going to come for each one of us. But the fuel and the power is in fasting and in solitude. All right, my friends. I love you. I'm going to pray for you. And then Justin's going to come on up here, give us some instructions. And we'll break into some groups and pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for your example, Lord. We know that you didn't have to fast. But I think of how much you love us. And you showed us a way to become strong in our own physical weakness. Lord, I thank you for my brothers who deal with so much temptation every day, myself included, who are bombarded with so much information that clouds out the pure, simple, true words of God that feed us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to begin to grasp the idea of fasting from time to time and being alone with you consistently and being fed by you. And I pray, Father, that you help us to resist the devil, and so that he might flee from us and we might hear from you. You are, Lord, our great God and King. And you have gone before us in every way. And we worship you for that. And we are a thankful group of men for your contribution. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Mr. Justin.
Amen. Amen.